key races around the country that will determine the control of Congress are too close to call, and we're going to check in on a few of them right now, starting here in Arizona, where as of yet there is no winner in the race for Senate between the incumbent Democrat Mark Kelly and his Republican opponent Blake Masters. It is the same story in the contentious race for governor. Andrew Oxford is political reporter for Arizona Public Media in Tucson. Andrew, welcome.
Hey, how are you? How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Democrats opened strong, as expected, in the early ballot count as it came in, but then Republicans have been closing the gap. In the governor's race especially, Carrie Lake appears to be within striking distance of Democrat Katie Hobbs. What are you seeing?
That's right. Katie Hobbs is only up about 11,000 or 12,000 votes right now, and this was widely expected, right? I mean, it's a reflection of a feature, not a bug, of Arizona's election system. The first results we got last night showed Democrats with big leads. That's because those first results really reflected ballots cast during early voting. Turnout during Election Day, we saw a spike in Republican turnout. And as those ballots were counted and reported throughout the evening, we saw Democratic leads shrink. So the big question now is what we see in the ballots that were mailed in on Election Day or just before Election Day. Those ballots weren't reflected in those first results. Counties have still got to unpackage and verify those mail ballots. That verification process, which is standard and meant to prevent fraud, can take days. And so with races this close, it could be a few days before we really have a clear idea of any winners here.
Yeah, and in that race for the Senate, Mark Kelly has a slightly more comfortable lead on his Republican opponent, Blake Masters. This is a very important race for the balance of power in the Senate. How are Democrats feeling about his chances keeping that lead?
Yeah, I was at his event here in Tucson last night, and it was upbeat, at least for the moment. I mean, there's obviously uncertainty with so many ballots left to count, but this is exactly what he needed to do to repeat his victory in 2020. He needed to outperform the rest of the Democratic ticket, just like he outperformed Joe Biden here. I think he knows as well as anyone that the path to victory in Arizona is not just in turning out your base, but in turning them out and also winning over enough independents and Republicans to have a coalition. Mm-hmm. And there are no small number of voters in Arizona who, you know, 10 or 15 years ago were Republicans, or at least voted for a lot of Republicans, but were turned off by Trump. And as the Republican Party has only further embraced Trump here in Arizona, the party hasn't made any real effort to bring those voters home. And I think Kelly has tried to seize on that in a race with a candidate, Republican Blake Masters, who has Trump's backing. So Kelly has been out there talking a lot about inflation and bipartisanship. The question is whether he can get enough of those voters to come over to his side.
All right. So briefly, you're in Tucson. I'm in Phoenix, where there were issues with some voting machines last night. The printers weren't working as expected. Some of the Republican candidates, like Carrie Lake, tried unsuccessfully to keep polling places open longer. Do you expect this issue to linger as votes get counted and some Republicans might say, you know what, there's problems with this vote?
We may certainly hear about it going forward, right? But I think a few important things to keep in mind are that, you know, this affected about 27% of vote centers. There, I think county officials were saying that they still really gave voters a lot of options who ran into problems. This was not leading or creating, you know, long lines at vote centers. So I think we'll expect to see county officials going forward really defending this process and arguing that, you know, contingencies worked as they needed to. Certainly, you could hear candidates trying to make hay of this. But we really don't have a concrete understanding at this point of exactly how this impacted any particular races or the ability of voters to actually cast a ballot yesterday, right?
Officials say every vote will be counted. Andrew Oxford, reporter with Arizona Public Media in Tucson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And let's go to Nevada now, where the U.S. Senate race between the Democratic incumbent Catherine Cortez Masto and Republican Adam Laxalt is still a toss-up. Laxalt has a slight lead so far, but it's still way too early to call. Here's Cortez Masto.
The votes are still being counted. We know this will take time, and we won't have more election results for several days.
Elizabeth Thompson is managing editor of the Nevada Independent. She joins us from Las Vegas. And Elizabeth, as you well know, Adam Laxalt, a former attorney general, grandson of former Senator Paul Laxalt. Adam Laxalt, far to the right. How did he campaign? What are some of the things he said?
Well, actually, he stuck to the rurals largely. So here in Nevada, as you may already know, we've got 2 urban counties and 15 rural counties. So he was out in the rurals, focusing mostly on the economy, critical of the Biden administration and Democrats over, of course, inflation, rising prices. Energy has been a big topic for Laxalt as well. And of course, energy in general is an important topic here in Nevada because of the mining community and a variety of things. And then the social issues as well. He's been out front trying to walk that line on abortion, but he's quite conservative when it comes to abortion. So he was out stumping in the rurals, appealing to the voters most likely to vote for him.
Well, he called Democrats radical leftists who should be put in the ashbin of history. I mean, kind of strong language. He is a Trump loyalist, whereas Catherine Cortez Masto seemed to work to appeal to the centrist voters. Remind us, what was the expectation in this race? Is this a surprise?
Well, first of all, we don't know the outcome, so it's too early to be surprised either way. John Ralston was probably our founder here, was probably more nervous than ever about his predictions. He did predict that Cortez Masto would squeak it out. Laxalt is up by about 40,000 votes right now statewide. That said, there are tens of thousands of dropped off in mail ballots yet to be counted today. So it's too soon to talk about a November surprise, but she does have a good shot, I think, of pulling it out for a couple of reasons. One is that it's clear from the patterns last night that she did get some crossover votes. In other words, Republicans crossing the line to vote for her while not voting for other Democrats down ticket. And it looks as if the nonpartisans in Nevada, it's a huge voting block now. It appears, and we'll know more in a few days, of course, that maybe they leaned a little more Democrat than Republican, which was a bit of a surprise.
Well, and the Nevada governor's race, we should mention, another to watch. Incumbent Governor Steve Sisolak, the Democrat, being challenged by Republican Joe Lombardo, the Las Vegas area sheriff, also backed by Trump. That race too close to call right now or just not counted?
I wish I could give you something this morning, but the governor's race is even closer right now than the Senate race. Same with all of the congressional races. They're just too close to call. There's one race we're watching that we think we may be able to call this morning when we get the first data dump, and that's the attorney general race. Incumbent Democrat Aaron Ford looks like he's going to prevail over a MAGA AG candidate here in Nevada.
Okay, so we'll keep an eye on all of those with Elizabeth Thompson, managing editor of the Nevada Independent. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
And finally, over to Georgia, where the Republican incumbent Governor Brian Kemp once again beat Democrat Stacey Abrams.
It looks like the reports of my political death have been greatly exaggerated.
Meanwhile, in a key Senate race, Democrat Raphael Warnock has a sliver of a lead on Republican Herschel Walker, but neither candidate has cleared the 50% threshold, and that race is heading to a runoff. WABE's Raul Bali joins us now from Atlanta. And Raul, election officials in Georgia speaking right now. What's the news on this runoff?
We're waiting to hear about that runoff, but a few minutes ago, I got an update before the press conference, and there's about 10,000 absentee early and provisional ballots left. If either candidate, Senator Raphael Warnock or his Republican challenger, Herschel Walker, got all of those votes, they would still not avoid a runoff. So I think that's where we're headed. 4 more weeks. We've seen our shadow here in Georgia. 4 more weeks of politics for
No doubt. You have been here before, haven't you? 2 years ago, Georgia was the center of the political world in the 2020 election. The Senate was up for grabs, just like it is now. Walk us through, for those who don't remember, what a runoff would look like.
So there's actually been some changes. That runoff was a 9-week runoff. And then when Republicans in the Georgia legislature overhauled elections and voting rules here in the state of Georgia, one of the things they did is turn that runoff from 9 weeks to 4 weeks. So it's even a faster run for us. That's kind of the big thing. And the other dynamic that we're going to be watching for is what happens with former President Trump. He backed Herschel Walker, but he really wasn't in the picture since about May, the May primaries, when most of the former president's candidates didn't do well. He wasn't really an item on the campaign trail. You wonder if he comes back into the picture here in the 4 weeks, and also the former president decides to announce he's running in 2024, does that change the picture here in Georgia?
And we're going to keep a close eye on that. In the meantime, in just the brief moment we have with you in the governor's race, as I said, Stacey Abrams, a Democratic star who's had trouble now winning elections, did worse this time around than she did in 2018 against Brian Kemp. Just briefly, what does this mean for her future?
You know, in her concession speech, she did not give us any kind of clear message, clear path on what's next for her. I think what you're looking at is, she continues to be a national figure, a Georgia figure, working in the area of voting rights, for example, and voter registration. But in terms of what that clear path is, I think that's what people are going to want to hear from her down the road.
WABE's Raul Bali joining us from Atlanta. Thank you very much.
No problem.